Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world. Take the USA without Alaska, add another California and another New England, and that's the size of Brazil. The Amazon River drains an area equal to that part of the United States, extending from the Mississippi River west to the Pacific Ocean. The Amazon dumps 47 million gallons of fresh water into the Atlantic Ocean every second. And it is here, at the mouth of the Amazon, that we have lived and worked since 1969. The name of the state is Pará. Pará is almost twice the size of Texas. Since we arrived in 1969, its population has more than doubled to about 6 million, 2 million of which live in the metro area of Belém, the capital of the state. Belém was settled by the Portuguese, although the English, French, Spanish, and Dutch all tried and failed to hoist their flags over the eastern Amazon. Baptist Missions has been working in Belém since 1956, but it has usually been a small field with one or two couples. When you are constantly understaffed, it is imperative to do what is most important, getting out the gospel. Getting people saved and baptized, organizing them into local churches where they can be trained and taught, and then pass it all on to others. Preach the gospel to every creature, young and old, rich and poor, all nations. Years from now, one thing will matter. Did you die in your sins? Or did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Paul said, teach others also. After an enjoyable year of deputation, we arrived in Brazil in our early 20s with a burden to reach the interior towns away from the city. Have been involved in evangelizing and starting Baptist churches. We used aviation to accomplish these goals. Camp Jordan evolved after some years of day camps. We then purchased 62 acres and built the facilities along with developing a camp program. After many spiritually fruitful years of camps, we sold the property and continued the program using rented facilities. The youth retreats have now been nationalized, yet we still continue the annual children's camps. Seminary of the North, our Bible Institute, began as evening classes in a local church. In the early 1980s, property was bought on the outskirts of Belém, and our missionary colleagues began a Bible Institute with a full program. Since we were starting churches in the interior during those years, we participated financially as well as supplied the school with students. After returning to Beling to start Berea Baptist Church, Rick has served as director and teacher at the Bible Institute. Gail and our daughter Erica have taught in the areas of music, Christian education, and counseling. The new school year began in April with Pastor Roberto Paulo as director and a number of local pastors as teachers in the evening classes. We continue to be responsible for providing and maintaining the facilities. Our number one priority and love is church planting. Our latest congregation, Berea Baptist, is located in a newer section of Beling, where we now have a building and classrooms, besides a pavilion on a spacious lot. Teachers have been trained, and we now have 7 Sunday school classes. Men from the church have a Saturday morning calling program during the Children's Bible Club. The club has been useful in teaching the Word of God in an enjoyable way using visuals, games, Bible competitions, and sports. The people of Berea have become a family, united in love and a desire to serve their Savior. Holidays include special programs that are opportunities for evangelism. The fruitful witness of a couple in the church resulted in the whole neighborhood of Nova Zelândia being presented with the gospel. We thank the Lord and those who helped us purchase our Volkswagen van. It is constantly being used to safely bring children to church. Before the van, they would walk over a mile to church, crossing 4 lanes of heavy traffic. They loved riding in the back of our open truck, rain or shine, but we were concerned for their safety. We wonder now how we ever got along without the van. A lot has been purchased in Nova Zelândia, and plans are being made to construct a simple building where we can preach the gospel to friends and families of the children attending Berea. We praise the Lord that already some adults have been attending the church. Please pray for us as we continue this project after our return from furlough. Our daughter Erica grew up in Brazil, attended Faith Baptist Bible College, and returned to Brazil as a missionary, also with Baptism and Missions. This past February, she married Pastor Evandro da Silva. Both of them are called to reach the interior towns of our state with the gospel. Upon Evandro's completion of seminary, they plan to start a church in the town of Quatro Bocas, 4 hours from Belém. Property was bought, and the building plans were approved by the city. And it is only now that God has opened doors for Evandro and Erica to start that work. As we return to Brazil to begin our 8th term, we thank the Lord for the way the work has grown. When we went to Brazil 40 years ago, there were 4 missionary couples and 2 national pastors in Pará. Today, there are 2 missionary couples including our daughter and son-in-law, and 20 national pastors. Together, we continue to preach the gospel to every creature.
We're here. We have a house. Except for those of you who don't know it, up in Happy Valley, the church here helped us when we built it years ago. Paul and Susan Bray managed it for us, the rent and everything. It's a blight. We couldn't do it without them. I'm from First Baptist Santa Maria, California. Pastor down there, Jim Shetler, sends his greetings to Nate Horton and some of the guys that know him. And I guess Pastor John knows him too. But we're not having meetings in Montana except for this one. We visited some of the churches, but we're glad to be here and on this first of our short furloughs. Can't stay away that long. You know, Bob and Damaris Langford are taking our place in Brazil. Years ago, Bob had a lake amphibian, and he was taken off from an airstrip that was built by Wycliffe Bible Translators. They went in and evangelized the tribe there, and the Satara tribe, and built the airstrip, and then left, the chief being the pastor now. And I had been in there years before with Wycliffe, about 1973, and Bob was taken off in Lake Amphibian with a sick baby, with an Indian lady, the mother with it, and two new tribes, missionary Brazilian girls, and one of the four cylinders broke when he was taken off, and he crashed into the trees. With the Lake Amphibian, the engine's up on top, and it comes down on your head. I knew one guy that died from that. He crashed it and landed short. And in this case, I saw when we went in there, the tree that the left wing hit a tree and snapped it off, tree about hardwood about this big, and the airplane spun around backwards, went into the jungle tail first. So that when the engine came off, it went backwards. So nobody died. And I went in there called Harold Reiner back from furlough and Al Spieth, and we took that airplane apart and got it out of there. First got Bob into the hospital. We went clear over from Belém, long trip over there to get there. One of our missionaries, Mark Trimble, and I was away from home for 3 weeks. You know, here now with cell phones, man, my husband hadn't called me today. He's out there working. I was away for 3 weeks, no way to contact Gail and Erica. Erica was just a baby, just a little girl. And we took that airplane apart, and with the Indians' help, got it out of there. Well, when the project was done 3 weeks later, I got in my plane. Harold went back to the States. I'm in Itacoatiara near Manaus in a little hotel there. And I woke up in the morning, I wanted to get home, you know, it's kind of murky out, but I saw some sunlight up there, so I went over and to the airport and took off. I was going to follow the Amazon River 1,000 miles back home. Well, about 800 miles back home from there. But I noticed on the ADF that tunes into AM radio stations, a lot of static along that line there, and I realized that the whole Amazon basin was Saco. And so I took off. Went about 30 degrees to the right, see if I'd get around it, and I found myself soon climbing. It's been here in the Flathead, our Cherokee Arrow, made in Brazil, Embraer 711, and so I was up there about as high as the airplane can go, not in the clouds, but they're around me, and I'm just shooting my way through there, and I knew I was going to die, because where I had gasoline in the airplane I'd pulled out of the wreck, so I wouldn't throw it away, several plastic containers with gasoline in it, and I'm gonna run out of the gas in the tanks down in the Xingu jungle, crash and burn. And so, you know, first thing I got in touch with the Lord and started confessing sins that I had done, and then those that I had just thought about. And I was, you know, talking to the Lord and praying and weeping, and then after that, you start going down the list. And here in the States, they tell you to climb for radio purposes, and then you climb and you confess and you to the guy what your problem is, and then you comply with what he says. That none of that works in the Amazon. There's nobody there to talk to. So we just where am I? It doesn't matter. It all looks like broccoli down there anyway. And no, it doesn't matter where it is. And so I just started praying. I go down through the list step by step of what you're supposed to do in a situation like that. Keep supposed to keep your head, and you're supposed to, stay calm. Remember what you learned. Take it a step at a time. I'd already prayed, stressing the Lord, but I knew I'd never see my family again. And then about, 300 miles later, I broke out over the Tapajós River and looked around and saw an airport down there and landed, airstrip out in the middle of nowhere, and put the other gas in the wings and went home and made it. But this idea of taking it a step at a time, you have to do that in aviation. In terms of salvation, isn't it like that? The confess, believe, and ask. It's really simple if you're not saved. Salvation. You confess your sins to the Lord. Don't hold anything back. You believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, rose from the dead, because the Bible says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you do that, and you can look back on that experience and trust God's word. If God is a liar, I'm lost. But no matter what I've done in the meantime or how things look, I'm trusting God's word. I'm saved because I confess my sins. I believe on him, and I ask him to save me. Lord, save me from my sins. So step by step for salvation, which reminds me, Gail has an interesting story about some girls that received Christ as Savior years ago in Castanal. She's going to come up and tell you about that right now, and how that salvation decision is ongoing.
I'll try to make this short. There are three examples that I could give. I'll give one. When we started the church in Castanal, that was long before Erica was born, I would have Bible clubs, and I noticed that when I would be invited to a home to have a Bible club, and they have a wall around their yard, the children would be reticent to come in past that wall. And so I decided to have Bible clubs out under the trees, and I found a really big tree, very nice, and my helpers, they got things ready, set up the easels and so forth, and I, with my accordion, would walk around the streets, and the kids would follow me like the Pied Piper. And we'd have these meetings under the trees. Well, two girls, sisters, that came to the Bible Club and were saved were Gianna and Marlee. And when we nationalized that church, turned over to Brazilian pastor and moved on to start another church, we lost contact with these girls. But before that, I was going to mention, after they were saved in Bible Club, their mother and they moved across town. And so we would go every service and pick these girls up and bring them to church. And then we did lose contact with them. Well, now a couple in our church where we are now, Berea Baptist, they were having marriage problems. The wife was a graduate of our seminary, and the husband, Rick, had led to the Lord, but they were having problems, and so they did separate, and he has a construction job out in the town of Castanhal, where we had had those Bible clubs, and where there's a church now. And a lady across the street from where he's living began witnessing to him. And he said, well, I am a Christian, but I'm not walking with the Lord right now. And she said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, I was saved by an American missionary, and I went to a Baptist church in Beling. And she said, what was the name of the missionary? And he said, Rick McLean. And she said, what's his wife's name? And my name is Lana in Portuguese. And she started to cry. She says, they led me to the Lord, and I lost contact with them. She says, I've always wanted to know where they are because I'm a pastor's wife now, and I wanted to maintain contact. Well, he thought that was really an act of God. Once again calling him to come back to the Lord. So in the month of July, that just recently happened, he did pay her a month's rent. That's a good sign. He told his wife what had happened, and his wife told Erica, and Erica told us. And so I say that because in the slide you saw a lot of pictures of children, and we don't apologize for working with a lot of children. And through our ministry and through all these years, there are many of these children who are now either very faithful in their church, working in the church, or as pastors, and we thank the Lord for that. That's one enjoyable result of working in the same area for 40 years.
Step by step, when it comes to salvation, confess, believe, and ask. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And step by step also, in terms of guidance, Paul over in chapter 9 of the Acts, was going to kill more Christians and put him in jail. You know the story, Acts 9:3. He journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, but what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, this is Acts 9:6, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You know, Brother Bob Atkinson, pastor in Fortuna, we were just down there. It's up in the northern Highway 1, California. A couple years ago, was over in Bozeman fly fishing on vacation. And he came down with a stroke. And your whole life is turned upside down all of a sudden. Now, it didn't affect his speech. He's got a wonderful assistant pastor, who some of you guys will appreciate this, who is also a hot rodder down there in Fortuna. And so the two of them worked together. Bob just was celebrating when I was there last week, a couple of weeks ago, that he's off a four-point cane into a one-point cane. So that's how bad it hurt him. You know, your life is turned upside down. Everything is different. And so step by step for guidance, how did that affect Paul? Well, the instructions were, here's the steps. Get up. And then go. And then God sent Ananias to meet him. And he was filled with the Spirit. I think he was saved back here in verse 5, where he said, Who art thou, Lord? Called upon the name of the Lord. I think he was just getting rid of some of the doubts here. But who art thou, Lord? What do you want me to do? But he got saved. And then in verse 19, it says, when he had received meat, he was strengthened after being baptized, and was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So it was just step by step, take it step by step, like Bob Atkinson did, took it step by step. God helped. He didn't die. He could have. They were out in the middle of nowhere. God worked it out, and he's coming back with therapy. But guidance, and with Paul, he received information, and got some rest, and ate, and step by step, he was transformed into Christian servants. Now, sing about guidance, Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Or in Portuguese it says, he'll take care of the rest. Tudo fará. Traga o teu caminho ao Senhor, confia nele, ele tudo fará. If you know a little Spanish lingo, you can make heads or tails of that maybe. Let me just say this. Not in the message, but we hadn't washed this little red car really since we took it out of the storage, not really washed it good. So I was down in Salem, Oregon, and I thought I'm going to get a good hand wash job on this. And the kid that was finishing it up, a Spanish kid, so I started quoting some scripture to him in Spanish or in Portuguese so he could see the difference and just to start witnessing. And this kid was saved here in the States. He's in the early 20s. And he knows about, he's read about Adoniram Judson and William Carey. And he's a big fan of Charles Spurgeon. And he's read, he knew about Whitfield. And God's working some of these Spanish people. You know, I think if we miss that, because it could have been an Anglo, young guy. And God's working in his heart. He's reading the right stuff. There's a mission field out there anyway. And he wants to go to seminary. Anyway, let's take it a step at a time for guidance. Bill Smallman was down in Reading. We got back on furlough and went up to Reading, rented a car. And Bill and Doris Smallman were there, friends of ours for years. Bill said, the oldest person is candidate secretary of mid-missions. The oldest person he ever processed for regular missionary work was 73 years old. So it can happen, 73 years old. And he said, you know, either you're one of those that are sent, or you're working here and then helping send. Pastor mentioned all these years supporting missions, these churches. And I don't know how I'm getting off the subject, but the first Brazilian missionary that I know of in our national missions in Brazil that ever worked in a state other than the state she was supported in was Marinéide Tavares in the 70s, came up to work with us in Castanhal. And the Brazilians that run the mission board said, hey, that's not going to help our work here in Ceará at all. And the missionary says to him, how do you think those churches in the States, what do you think they're getting out of this, sending us here and paying us to preach the gospel to you? That's not what it's all about, just how, and so they sent her. And now we've got Brazilian missionaries in foreign fields, especially Portuguese-speaking fields in Africa. But back to the message. This thing of guidance, take a step at a time. Step at a time in terms of growth, the Word of God. The answer to the growth is getting into the Word of God. This church provides the Word of God. Some people will go to a church for the value of the gospel and the Bible, like this church, where you don't have to check your brains at the door. You don't have to go through a big show of stuff for the value of the gospel and the Word of God, which is taught and preached here, which in some churches isn't. And there was a guy named Steve Patterson, and when he was 14, I could beat him one-on-one in basketball. He was 14 and 6 foot tall. I was playing third string at LABC. And his parents were both tall. And he took the place of Kareem Jabbar, or, you know, the guy that was the center there at UCLA a few years ago. What was his name before he became Kareem Jabbar? Anyway, Lou Alcindor, anyway. But Steve wasn't one of these guys that got it automatically. Some guys, you know, they just know when to jump, when to shoot, and just the jock, he just knows. And some guys have to learn it, just like shooting a gun or whatever it is. You got to learn it, or playing an instrument. And this guy, this coach, this is a time when, it was about the time when our football coach down there was John Madden at Hancock College, Santa Maria High School. And somebody, I don't remember if it was John Madden or somebody, I think it was a basketball guy, took Steve aside. Steve was a member of our church, a good Christian kid, and said, you have to be a gym rat, Steve. You just got to hang out at the gym. And there's going to be guys playing pickup ball. They're going to come through. They're going to teach you stuff. You just have to stay there, become a gym rat. And that's the way you're going to do it. Just be there all the time. Now, I was talking, you know, to someone. My parents lived in Orange County. Our church was in Long Beach. But we were there for every service. Wednesday night, daily vacation Bible school, any special events. Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And what you got to be if you want to grow step by step is be a church rat. Just be here. Whenever it's open, you're here. And if you're not doing that, you're not taking growth seriously step by step. But moving right along, what about decisions and deadlines in church planning? Where am I going to start a church? And what's the approach? We have various approaches that we can use with Baptist missions. And can I cut it? Because, you know, there's some jobs you can move in and move out, and unless you really mess up, the building's still going to be there. The company's still going to leave when you leave. It's still going to be there when you leave. But there are certain jobs where you either do it or you don't, like salesmen. I mean, the guy can be, you know, a little bald-headed guy with frayed cuffs and doesn't use the King's English correctly. But if he can sell, he's a salesman. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter what he looks like. You get a bad breath. If he's got the sales, he's a salesman. In music, you can be a foreigner, doesn't speak the English language very well, and smell like garlic and stuff, and you come in and sit down and challenge the first chair in that orchestra, and they'll put the music there. If you can play it better than he does, you're first chair, if they do the thing right. And so church planning is kind of like that. You either start that church or you don't, and it makes you fall on God's grace. You say, I need men, Lord. I need to know where to do this, and then I need men for a place, you know, deacons, and I need teachers for the Sunday school and musicians. Where the church has nothing, you're starting from scratch. You need to pray for your church planting missionaries that God will bring that together for them. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so, if you start zeroing in on people, say, "Well, I'm going to try to evangelize him. He'd make a good member for my new church." Then you're going against what the Bible says. You're supposed to preach the gospel to everyone, those that can help your church and those that can't help it. Those that are going to soak up a lot more attention and money than they're ever going to be able to put back, and those that maybe are pillars of the community, or the small farmer out in the jungle that has his own land. And so we say, you know, Lord, help me and give me souls, give me workers, give me a plan, and help me to know the first step in putting this church plant together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so it's just a light that God sheds. The word of God shows us the next step, just like the little kerosene lamps they have down in Brazil shows the next step. And so, you know, we were thankful for all these years in Brazil and preaching and teaching, lead people to Christ, baptizing and organizing them into churches. The church is the entity that God has promised to bless. Therefore, these other things like camps, seminaries, even orphanages that we have started or others have started, they're good. But if we were all to leave Brazil tomorrow, and I'm talking about all the good missions, Bible-believing missions, were to leave Brazil tomorrow, the churches would continue, but maybe not the other institutions. And one of those institutions is seminaries. People say, how did you move from 2 students to 100 in 1 year? And here's how it works. I'm not a seminary guy, basically, but we saw the need for keeping the thing together when one missionary died, another one moved. And so the seminary started in 83 to 85. We usually had 10 to 15 or maybe a few less students. And our whole neighborhood there is the people in that picture of all those pastors. Most of them are seminary grads. And so a few years ago, there was a guy, a really good evangelical, that split off from our seminary, took some of the students. A long story I don't want to get into. And then 2 years ago, we had 2 students who graduated too. One of them is one of our fine pastors now in an older church there, a good church. And I realized that, I'm going to make this brief, but we know that from the time of the apostles and the Great Commission, going into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then over in the pastoral epistles, we teach those things to others who can teach them to others also. And we know that theological education's been going on, or we wouldn't be here. People have been teaching their pastors in the church mainly and in other ways. But maybe if we all left Brazil tomorrow, we know theological instruction would go on, but maybe not the way that we've been doing it with your old standard style, 1948 Bible Institute with a campus and all that goes with it. So what we did was we split the seminary into two. The mission, which is four of us now, remains in charge of getting rents. We put up houses to rent and paying the bills and running the one-day retreats and the weekend retreats and the camps. And we got the bookstore and the library and the Sunday school literature. And so that we maintain, and we just turned the other over to the Brazilian pastors. And they took the Bible Institute, made it into a night school, and God brought in that director from way up north of Manaus. He's a seminary, Manaus Seminary grad, university grad, works for the Brazilian IRS, goes to school or to work every day in a suit and tie. He got a new diesel pickup, but a humble guy, and he was just a guy that God brought in. The government moved him there, and so he's our director. And what we did was, we have about 50 students right around the seminary there, and then another 50 in outlying areas. We use one curriculum, and it's sent out to the pastors, and they apply it to their own groups. And then once in a while, they all get together, except the guys in the next state can't come that often. And I've just approved. They gave me the courtesy of approving a liaison with a group in South Brazil can help them get online and into DVDs for those that can't get online so they can spread more. And that's how we did it. And, you know, I told the pastor, look, our group here isn't even sending off seminary students to other areas, to other seminaries. So it's not just a problem in the seminary. But I told him the story of Honda. We're here in the States. You know, when I was a kid, I had a 650 Triumph. Those English bikes were a lot of problems. And then Honda came in. They're spinning that thing 7,000 RPM. I said, this is crazy. It's not going to work. Spinning the camshaft in the aluminum. Man, was I wrong. And one of the things that got me kicked out of LABC was going through a Honda 305 in the men's restroom there at the dorm in LABC. And you buy the piston for $12, the Chevy garage hones it out free, and the guy's running again. And what Honda did, came in and made their own market. And that's why I got so many motorcycles today, Honda and Yamaha. And he saw how that, and so we've made our own market. And people that weren't studying, they couldn't quit their job and study in the daytime, but they're interested in serving the Lord, and so they're in this program. And you're a part of that more than any other church in terms of the what you've helped us to do there with the property. Well, so that's a blessing. And So we see in churches reestablished, neighborhoods transformed. I think we missionaries are the real community organizers, the real ones. People get saved and their attitude changes, their communities change. And that's what we're trying to do. So thank you for being a part of that and for having us this morning. And we'll be back at the display. You know, I tell people, I'm a lousy preacher and the world's worst missionary, but we have a really great display that Gail put together. Take it step by step, folks. You remember that old song about a step at a time, following Jesus one step at a time? And that was written by Red Harper. I think it was in a movie with Billy Graham, if I'm not mistaken. But just take it a step at a time. Maybe you're right now at a place in your life where things have changed radically like they did for Bob Atkinson. And you don't know really. I mean, it's all upside down. Just go a step at a time and start with calling unto the Lord. And follow it up with verses that apply to your situation. And just park here in the church and see all that stuff coming down for you, all that spiritual food. And God will help you with that, whether it's guidance, whether it's what I'm supposed to do, dealing with deadlines and problems and stuff that's come up. Just take it a step at a time with God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank you this morning for this church. Missions-minded church, reward each one, Lord. Some have gone on to be with you in glory. Others have moved to other places, but the nucleus is here. We thank you for them and bless them. And for that one this morning who's not sure about salvation, confess, believe, and ask. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And Lord, those that are facing decisions, those that need guidance, young people don't know what to do with their lives. Help them, Lord. And help them to seek you a step at a time and then see him through it, Lord, like you did with the Apostle Paul when he got saved. In Jesus' name, amen.